This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I walk down the street. Men and women all look at me. And then they look at their friends and they say, that guy, he works out. Because they know, Ben, it's like when you were 18.
Uh-huh.
It's so obvious. When someone sees a young you or an old me, they know. People know.
People know.
People know. Good morning to Ben Davis, who joins us. Of course, we love having Ben on the show.
Ben Davis in studio, brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving at cjtire.com. Got through it.
Ben, you've already walked into ridiculousness. How are you, buddy?
Top of the morning to you.
Great. To you and the Phils. They're on pace for 92, Ben.
Yeah, they are.
92. Despite all the doubts, and listen, there have been some, I want to be clear, legitimate reasons to be frustrated.
Good pivot there.
Okay, I don't want to bury the realities of the bullpen and some defense stuff and some hitting stuff. I mean, there have been some real negatives. But I am struck, Ben, that despite the negatives, they're still on pace for 92 wins. And in my opinion, I would say most people would probably agree with this, more likely to play better the rest of the year than worse.
I would agree with that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're going to need every win they can get.
Tough league, man.
It's a tough division.
It is.
And a tough league.
Yeah, league, yeah.
The NL West is no joke.
It really is. Let's listen to Bryce Harper. He spoke yesterday about the Phils' month of April. It's not the most comprehensive answer, but this is his mindset as an athlete. You know, what he's thinking about this club and how they kind of navigated April. Here's something Bryce said.
Bryce, there's always ebbs and flows in a long baseball season, but you guys have been able to gut out a couple good wins the last couple of days. How do you think you guys are just playing right now at this point?
Yeah, just got to win the month. Obviously, that's key to, you know, having success, being able to have more wins than losses in any given month. So that's what we're trying to do.
Now, to be fair, I'm lumping the very, very, very end of March and April. I don't count March as its own month. March and April to me in baseball are the same thing. And it nets out at 17 and 13. I mean, listen, John, can they play better? Absolutely. Do we need them to play better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be hard to win a World Series unless Trey Turner picks it up. I mean that. I think that's going to be a real difficulty. But I know this, man. Five starting pitchers. They dodged a bullet on Sanchez. They're about to get Ranger back. I mean, they are going to walk into every week, barring injury, with Wheeler, Nola, Lizardo, Sanchez, and Ranger. It's hard to not be pretty good with those five. It really is.
Ben, does the Trey Turner anchor around our ankle, does that pull us back with this starting pitching? And we're talking, man, we got excitement on the way too with Painter eventually. Mm-hmm. It just feels like that part is so taken care of. That part harkens back for me to the Astros team that beat us in the World Series. That was at the time I thought, man, that's what we need to be able to win like the Astros. To be a team that's consistent in Major League Baseball, you got to have a group that can group no hit. A Phillies team in the World Series.
Yeah.
As your fourth starter, by the way. So I think we're closer to that. But then there's Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Out of position. As inconsistent as all get out offensively to boot. Is that bringing us down to where it, among other things? I mean, Trey is certainly not the worst thing in the world. He's just
he's not a bad player, but he's not
dollar guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I think if he were to go on a legitimate tear offensively, I think we would kind of forget about his defensive woes at times. I mean, the other night, two nights ago, he had four hits.
Right.
And we didn't even talk about his four hits.
Well, we did yesterday, to be fair.
But it was kind of a gloss over.
Well, I think you hit on something important, Ben, because, you know, I remember Dombrowski said, I can't remember if it was with us or somewhere else, but I remember hearing him talk before the season about the fact that you kind of have to take the full gamut of what someone presents. Like, you can live with lesser defense if someone is an offensive star at a position. I mean, it's true. I mean, it is true. Like, Mike Piazza obviously was a below-average defensive catcher. He was probably the best-hitting catcher of all time. You can say that nets out as a positive. I mean, Mike freaking Piazza. The thing is, Trey needs to hit better in order to, in my opinion, John, justify the negative defense. You know, and it's not like he's been a bad hitter this year, but he hasn't been a good hitter. And that's where we hope to see improvement. All right, let's go to the phones. There's a lot to do here. Ben with us for the next 3 hours.
Hold on. There's one more thing.
Yep.
Does it seem impossible that Trey would not have taken any reps at all during spring training or the offseason in the outfield?
Does it seem impossible?
Yeah. That I am told that making that transition during the season when he hasn't practiced it at all is next to impossible. It feels like this is something that he probably should have gotten some reps at some point during the offseason or spring training.
I don't believe he did.
No.
I don't believe he did.
I so agree.
Yeah.
Crap.
If he had to throw him out there today, say, Trey, go play center field, I would do it confidently.
Boy, I would not.
Really?
Why would you?
Because I hear it's like impossible to make this transition without practice.
He's a great athlete.
Well, it's not about athleticism as much as I think it's about
the outfield,
reading the ball, right?
Yeah.
If it's that easy, why don't they do it?
I mean, a fly ball can turn into a triple if you don't have the instincts to handle it right. I mean, that's what you're trying to avoid. And there's a lot of fly balls in a baseball game.
Yeah. But I think he can do it.
So is he going to do it this season?
It's not on the ground and he doesn't have to throw it.
Do you think he will play in the outfield, left field, center field?
No, I don't.
That would help.
All right, let's go to the phones. Anthony in New Jersey, a lot of topics going on today. Anthony, good morning.
The hammer!
Oh, Anthony.
Bang! That's what you do! My boy working out. Let's go, Hammer!
I am, man. Get like AI, getting all swolled up.
Let's go. Hey, Hammer, man. I heard you like a week or two ago, man, said that you was backing out the competition.
No.
With Prince throwing in a white towel.
No.
Scared to get injured.
Just delaying things a little bit.
I was disappointed, man, but now I love this for you, Hammer.
Anthony,
I love this,
can
man.
I tell you who my biggest motivation was?
Who?
You.
Oh, man.
No, I'm actually not kidding. I would put you ahead of my desire to win because you were calling and backing me, but also kind of shaming me. And I mean that in a critical analysis way that I appreciate it. Like, you were a driving force, Anthony, for me to say. You can think it all you want, Anthony. I'm telling you the truth.
I believe it's true.
I was getting publicly flogged verbally every day by this guy. I love Anthony. I don't want to let him down.
Hammer, I'm on you. I'm going to continue to be on you, Hammer, because you're my man, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, Hammer, what's up with that Lions guy, man, saying, what a jerk, man, saying that you beat the Hammer record is overrated.
Ah, it's outrageous. Well, I don't know if he's a jerk.
That's a great answer.
I'd call him more of a fool than a jerk.
I think that's a front runner.
I tell you what,
it's
man.
A good
hard
answer.
To beat.
Really good. Not just because it's the only answer right now. But
hey, Hammer, man, I tell you what.
What?
Tell that jerk to call up tomorrow morning and get 5-0 like his daddy used to.
5-0. Yeah, you know what the only problem with that, Anthony? Tomorrow, 3-day weekend for the Hammer.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Mr. Rips everyone when they take a day off.
It's
the day off tomorrow.
Summer winds is soon to be blowing
Anthony,
in.
Anthony, can you believe this guy?
With a 3-day weekend. You know what? That let someone else win a competition is not going to happen because the hammer's putting his feet up tomorrow. That's what happens.
Hey, Hammer, man, that's the best time of my week, man. Tomorrow, beat the Hammer.
Should I call in? Call in for beat the Hammer.
Yeah.
Don't count on it. You know, I got a chance to sleep in. Hey, Anthony, give me an answer, my man. Who or what is overrated?
I'm going with social media, man.
Social media. I don't think so.
I think a lot of people
are down
know
on it.
The deal with social media.
I agree.
I don't think if he had said that 5 years ago, it could have been a winning answer
could be,
or something.
Perhaps. All right, good morning to you. On this Thursday morning, Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. 94 WIP. So the Phils get the W. It's been a nice bounce back, obviously, from what was a not good 2 weeks, to say the least. That's clear. And they've played a good week so far. They've won four in a row. They actually got a record of 17-13 now, which, if you extrapolate it out for the season, would net out to be on pace for 92 wins, which I'm guessing would surprise a lot of people because it doesn't feel like they've played to a 92-win clip. And I understand, like, for instance, if they'd lost last night instead of 92 wins, it'd be somewhere in the 80s. Like, I know, you know, one win represents a lot right now when you know, when it's really only a sixth of the season, if you will. But I do think look, it was good news yesterday on two fronts related to the pitchers. John, we can talk about all those home runs yesterday, and it's good. And there's no question it's good. But the bottom line is yesterday, in my opinion, was about the starting pitching. It was about two different things. Christopher Sanchez is fine. And by the way, when he's fine, he's really good. And Ranger Suarez is going to pitch this weekend. I mean, that's a lot to bring to the table. Now, it's a tough league. It's a tough division. No one's saying this thing's going to be easy. I'm not ready to crown them as a playoff spot yet because that's a long way away and they got a lot of work to do. But I do think they'll play better from here on out. I really do. I think they will play better.
I do, too. I think they've left themselves a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah.
And, Ben, do you feel like Christopher Sanchez yesterday, that performance put to rest any worries that you had about the forearm soreness that he had going on?
That was my biggest concern was, one, that he came out healthy, and two, that they win, and both happened.
Right.
What I think what was cool is that he wasn't even that good last night, and he still was that good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, meaning not like sharp, but
he wasn't sharp. He had three walks through 87 pitches in five innings, and he had 13 swings and misses, and he still threw the ball extremely well.
Yeah, threw it extremely well, but by his standard that we've grown accustomed to, it wasn't quite there yet.
But that shows you how good he is, and that's nice. That's pretty fascinating to me.
And Lizardo, who do you like more? Lizardo, Sanchez. Right now, you got to pick one.
Man,
I don't know how you order. I mean,
Lizardo has better numbers.
Why do you have to pick one? What kind of question is that?
I know.
Why do I have to pick one?
I don't know. I'm just trying to. When we get to postseason, and I do believe that this team gets to postseason. I mean, that's sort of that came into question already this year when we were 13-13. I guess maybe now 4 games later, it doesn't feel like so much of a question, but it's only 4 games.
No, it is.
Later.
It is a question. That's crazy. It's a tough league, man. There's four good teams in the NL West, and there's three good teams in the NL East.
But I am all but certain this team, the way they're paid, the way they've played, they will put it together. They will be a playoff team when it's all said and done.
Well, I hope you're right, and I tend to think you are. Let's go to the phones. There's a lot to do here this segment, including something related to our show we got to get to and your thoughts on the Phils. Also more from Howie Roseman, what he said about some of these draft picks in a national interview yesterday. We'll get to that shortly. And your chance to win Elvis Costello tickets. You got to give us, Ben, give me an answer. Who or what overrated? Can be current, can be, you know, back in the day.
The boomerang.
Just, what's the point?
You're right. I've never had one come back to me.
It never comes back
to
you.
That's a really good answer, dude.
The Nerf boomerang.
Like, what a good answer. Like, five times in my life I played with a boomerang and never once has it come back.
It never comes back to you.
The Nerf one. You know, with the three
the
things.
Boomerang.
You remember the Nerf boomerang?
It never came back to me
Orange.
Either.
It's got the... it's got three things coming off of it.
This is a great answer, dude.
The Nerf boomerang
really, really good job,
man.
Pretty good.
Well, thank you.
For those watching on YouTube, you can see Ben's big, goofy smile. He's so proud that he gave an answer that got Seltzer's approval.
You know, if you practice with the boomerang, it does come back.
I got bigger fish to fry, okay, Jeff?
They hunt with boomerangs in Australia.
Let me take a couple hours and just go play with his boomerang.
You have four kids, right?
How cool. I have three. I think... That would be something to master.
Okay.
Now, I probably, time-wise, I have to choose something to master. Do I choose fly fishing? Do I choose boomerang hunting?
Fly fishing.
Those are your two options, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Richie has...
What a strange choice.
Richie has mastered something else through the years is my guess, but that's a whole... I got to choose something to master, like you haven't. Let's go to the phones.
We digress.
Play guitar.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking of Holly Berry because I think her big debut in Hollywood was in Boomerang.
You're unbelievable.
If you catch the connection right there. It's got phones. That was where she became famous, right, Boomerang?
I believe so, yeah.
Like 91, no, yeah. 90?
That's not where she became famous.
I thought it was.
Everyone remembers.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, that's the first I remember.
First I know of her. Yeah. Boomerang. To the phones. All right, a lot going on here. Who or what's overrated? Give us a great answer. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
You know, if May 5th, 5-5 is BG Day, I'm going to declare April 30th Jordan Davis Day.
Well, I think it was a mistake, Ed.
Oh, it was absolutely the right move. Mm. I could not disagree with you more. You know, there's like similar defensive tackles are getting paid around the same. Like, Jordan Davis is better than DJ Jones. They're making the same amount of money.
Is he better than Goddard?
They're different players.
I know he is. I'm asking you a question. Is he better than Goddard?
He makes other players on that defense better.
Who would you rather have on your football team?
Jordan Davis right now.
Not me.
Well, you know, I guess that's what makes you the hammer, right?
Listen, apparently the Eagles agree with you. At least it seems that way. I mean, it seems like they value Jordan Davis more than Goddard.
Also, for next year, the money, it doesn't affect the Goddard thing.
I know, it's comparable.
I mean, his contract, but the point is it doesn't affect the Goddard thing for this year.
I understand.
Jordan Davis' salary for this year was already locked in.
I understand that, but they're making a commitment on a team that's going to continue to be loaded with good players that very well next year may have to shed some players like they did this year, because they don't fit the salary structure. I just don't think Jordan Davis is a $12, $13 million player. Not for a good team. Not for a team with so many. I got two wide receivers getting paid. I got a quarterback getting paid. I got Jalen Carter's about to get paid. I got a running back that's getting paid. I got like four or five offensive linemen that are getting paid. I mean, sometimes you got to make some tough decisions. I don't think Jordan Davis merits over $10 million a year. I just don't.
Well, in my opinion, he was trending upward towards the end of the season.
He was. He absolutely was. But they still weren't playing him, Ed, because of his limited, because we're in base so little, you know, the 3-4 look where we actually have a nose tackle, he just wasn't on the field that much. And I'm not saying his play wasn't outstanding at the end of the year, because there were times, man, he was taking on 2-3 blockers and opening things up for everyone behind him, guys running free. But, man, I need more than 22 snaps, whatever it averaged out to for the season, to merit that price tag. And I guess it's just like, hey, we got to bite the bullet for a year.
He's also only 25. Like,
yeah, there is
like
that
the
possibility.
The guy they just drafted, Ty Robinson, is less than a year younger than Jordan Davis. So the defensive tackle from Nebraska they drafted, he's less than a year younger than Jordan Davis. Like, that, let's not forget that.
Yeah, they could be banking on more development and a player that grows into the role better.
Which we have seen him develop. He's gotten better each year, for what it's worth.
And which Brandon Graham, around that age, in his fourth year, Brandon Graham really hit his stride. Nelson Agholor hit his stride in his third year, I guess it was.
They picked up his option, right?
They did. Yeah. But he actually went down after that. It was amazing when they did it.
It
was unbelievable. Yeah. And now he's been in the NFL over 10 years. He's really had a solid career. He has. Well, Ed, time will tell whether you're right or I'm right. We'll see. Give me a great answer for who or what is overrated.
I don't know if he's overrated or overexposed, but Pat McAfee.
Yeah, McAfee, you got it, man. All right, Ed, appreciate the phone call. All right, coming up in 1 minute, I want to get something related to our show. Something show-related, and I need a ruling from Ben Davis on it. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. Hey, isn't it time to invest in yourself? I certainly say this. So how about you start with PI Dental Center? With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, you know, I've been a patient now for 2 decades there. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. They're the best in the business. That's why people come from Europe for the phenomenal care you can get at PI Dental Center. You don't have to come from Europe, just wherever you are in the Delaware Valley. Get to Fort Washington, get to PI Dental Center, and start with their website to begin the process at PIDentalCenter.com. At PIDentalCenter.com, you can request your new patient evaluation. They really will take great care of you. They are awesome at PI Dental Center. All right, let me tell you who's not awesome. And I say this with no joy, because we have a show issue, not a station issue.
Uh-oh.
We have a show issue we have to get to. Kind of hurts the heart a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I'm a little nervous. See where this is going.
So I think we have a nice ethos around here. We, you know, look out for each other.
Support each other.
Congratulate each other if need be. Congratulate, you know. We wish each other happy birthday when it's our birthdays. Except Mr. Richie.
Yeah, I realized it. It was away. I was away. I know.
Miss Hughes?
Yeah, it was a bad job. I'm sorry.
I mean, Ben, you're not in here on the regular, so I'm going to give you the pass. You know, I'm here once a week-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Richie, Seltzer, and Rhea are my teammates on a daily basis.
I was at a wedding in Texas.
Not one person.
I forgot.
Not one person wished me a happy birthday amongst you fools.
Is today your birthday?
No, a couple days ago.
26. Oh. It was Saturday.
And I even waited a few extra days to see if any, like, I feel like from 16 candles, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
Devin sent me a text message, which I appreciate. Davey Yagaroff, our head of the station, sent me a text message. But my own teammates here on the daily, squat-ta, squat-ta, squat-ta. Now, how do you think that makes me feel?
I didn't get a note from you on my birthday.
But I said it on the air. That's what
No, you didn't.
That's what I do.
We weren't
on the air.
Christmas.
Her birthday's, yeah.
Yeah, but I probably did it on the Friday beforehand, is my point.
I don't think so. I don't think you did, no.
Oh, it's...
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Well, I got to put it on my list for next year. See, John, I got you and James on... I got a list. Yeah. Wait, because it's only been a couple years of the show, maybe I never got you on the list. Nah, that's the right thing to do.
I really don't
care. This is my bad. I feel bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
It's, you know what happened is I missed it, and then you mentioned on the air yesterday, and I felt so bad that I missed it.
I didn't mention it.
Well, you talked about birthdays. Someone came up, and you're like, oh, and I was like,
I missed it.
Yeah, Evan, I think
so. It was a Saturday.
I felt bad.
You're
so I was just like, but I missed it.
Was I here on Friday?
By the way, I don't know. I mean, were you? Were you here that Friday?
Yeah, I was. We were at Borgata a couple days ago.
Are you sure you were there?
With all that said.
I baked you a cake once
you
on your birthday.
You did. I appreciate that.
I've gotten you birthday presents before.
You are a lot less in the doghouse than these
I've gotten
other,
you so. Birthday presents before.
Yeah, before. Over 365 days ago.
So April 26th?
Yes.
All right, I'm putting
in my phone.
Yeah. And Ray, I'm putting you in my phone, so I'm going to get... Ray, what's your birthday?
December 29th.
December 20th. Oh, that's a toughie, because then we got to do it before Christmas. But we'll get it. Okay. December 29th.
I always love when I tell people my birthday. That must suck.
It does, right? I mean...
No lie. My sister once, when I was a teenager, I opened up the box on Christmas.
Yep.
It was the right sneaker. 4 days later, I got the left sneaker.
No.
100%.
That's brutal.
100%.
That's really good. All right, so obviously I'm joking around here. But
you know what, though? I think you're right. I apologize.
Okay.
That's on me.
I noticed.
It's a bad job by me.
I noticed you apologize, James, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a bad job by
me. I noticed Richie has not apologized.
I'm really sorry.
I don't think he's going to.
I'm really sorry I didn't say happy birthday.
Man, that is heartfelt.
By the way.
You can hear the love there, right?
Ben, you're going to like this.
Yes.
I did get a happy birthday, believe it or not, from this guy.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Oh. Norm!
Norman?
Here's the pitch.
How you doing, Norm?
Cut the small talk and give me a beer.
Afternoon, everybody.
Hey!
Norman?
What's the story, Norm?
Thirsty guy walks into a bar. You finish it.
Here's the deal. If you're under the age of 40, you're like, who the hell is that? If you're over the age of 40, you're like, that man is a living legend.
Correct.
Amy tracked him down on the cameo thing.
Oh,
no way.
That's adorable.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that cool? She started looking for Elizabeth Shue, couldn't find no Elizabeth Shue on Cameo. Tried to get to Martin Sheen, couldn't get to him. Norm. That's great, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Norm Peterson. Wishing me a happy birthday. All right, let's go to the phones.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right, George Wendt?
He did that on Saturday.
That's so cool. He did it on Saturday, yeah.
All right, by the way, we'll play the audio of that, because I do have
that audio.
Yeah, I got
to hear that. We have to hear George Wendt wishing you a happy birthday.
And there's something related to John in there. With George Wendt.
Get out of here.
Well, we're going to get to it.
I'm intrigued.
Well, I am too, for you guys to react to it. So Norm, otherwise known as George Wendt, that birthday greeting, we'll get to it shortly.
How old is Norm?
Probably 65, maybe 70.
I would think older, yeah.
Maybe 70, yeah.
76.
Oh, is he really?
76.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
I haven't seen him for so long.
Yeah, I mean, look, he 11
I'm
years
glad
on Cheers.
He's doing stuff.
Made a pile of cash and can sit on his rump.
He must have.
Drink beer. It's what the man does. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
Do you think he knows as much as, you know, it seemed? Do you think he knows as much minutia?
No, that's Cliff.
Oh, Cliff.
My
You're
God.
Right, my bad. My bad. Norman Cliff, my bad.
Okay.
Do you think Cliff actually knows?
I'm going to say no on that one. I'm going to say no.
But through the years, he would have to add knowledge.
Like, yeah, it's
he
would probably have like, to yeah, but when you give the fact of the day, stuff. I forget all that stuff.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, you probably remember more than you think.
I don't know about that.
I mean, the guy didn't remember Neo the day after watching The Matrix.
All right, so the phones we go. Nice job of the Phils last night. Rangers going to start on Sunday. Sanchez back into it last night, which was good on a bunch of home runs. By the way, let's hear a couple of those home runs, including Schwarber, to kick it off. And this, I got to tell you, I was surprised. I mean, he goes down almost to a knee to get it.
Golfed it out.
And it didn't look to me, and you could tell, I forget if it was McCarthy or Fransky, one of them you could tell was surprised. I was surprised.
It just kept going.
Yeah, and it kind of got out by a good amount, but
it was off the deck.
I was surprised it got out at all. This was the biggest hit of the game.
Irvin ready, here's the pitch. Breaking ball, hit in the air, right field, pretty deep, going back, turning, looking, and that is gone. And Kyle Schwarber goes down and gets one on an 0-2 pitch. And it's a three-run home run here in the bottom of the first as once again Schwarber strikes first.
I mean, think of this, and how rare is this statement to say this season? Four batters into the game for the Phillies offense, they had all the runs they needed for the whole night.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
that he is.
How hard is that for him to do what he did last night? Where he kind of just slapped it.
Yeah.
And instead of the
power
slap hit that you see, yeah, like from Johan Rojas, where it just dribbles barely past second base, he slapped it the same way, yet it went and banked off the stadium.
It went 394 feet with an exit velo of 103.5.
That's real strength.
And I said on the postgame show, I said, Kyle, if you're watching, I say this affectionately, you're a freak. Like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that.
Yeah.
So that nobody is does coming it. From...
He is...
It's coming from the torque, right? Like, it... You talk it's about his, that
it's
hands.
His, no, it's his hands and his forearms.
Really?
Yeah. And it's off the charts.
Is that really? Is that what Luzinski had and Incavillion?
It's exactly what Mike Schmidt had. It's what Chase Utley had. That's what it is.
But that's incredible hand strength
and
quickness.
It's freaky. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's really interesting.
When we hit, we want to use our big muscles from our waist down.
Right.
Our small muscles from our waist up. And those hands and forearms, that's where it comes into. And nobody does it better than Kyle Schwarber. He has
not even Gary Sheffield.
Sheff was up there, but he was more of a whippy guy.
Yeah, he was.
Kyle Schwarber's in my top five favorite Phillies as a fan ever.
I love him, man.
More of a whippy guy because
his bat speed.
But you can see the quickest wrist I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, Sheffield was crazy. Sheffield
was whippier than Kyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was the whippiest. That's why I brought him up.
I agree with that.
He was the whippiest.
I was in camp with the Yankees for 2 years, and every day I would go in to get my ankles taped, and Chef spent a lot, because he didn't like to talk to the media, so he would spend all his time in the training room. And one day he's in there with a hand gripper going, I said, Chef, let me see that thing. It was steel. It was made of steel. And I grabbed it. I couldn't even do it once.
No way.
Not once.
Wow.
And he was just doing it like it was unbelievable. I go, this is a joke.
Right.
And I mean, I have giant hands, and I like to think I'm fairly strong.
Of course.
And I couldn't even get them, you know, where the butts hit. I couldn't even do it once.
That's wild.
He was going,
amazing.
It was off the charts.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. So the Phils win. They're on pace for 92. Obviously, it was a circuitous way to get to 17-13, but they got there. Meaning they're on pace for 92 wins, they're on pace for a playoff spot. I'm wondering if people are a little bit more calmed down now after the first after this four-game, you know, winning streak, and obviously a start that nets out at 17-13, where you're still in that freakout zone. Let's be real, most people have been in. Most of our callers have been highly concerned about the Phils. Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Joe, are you that guy that gets upset if you go to a Phillies game and your name is not up on the board for first base?
If I pay for it, yeah. If I pay for the scroll, my name better be on the scroll.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Ken, you know what the funny thing is? I actually think people, I mean this very candidly, people that go out of their way to, like, make their birthday a big deal, I think they're dorks. I'm just kind of having some fun here because we're doing the show. But you, there are
children. It's okay if you're a kid.
Well, of course,
and,
if you're a kid.
Because, but I agree with you. When you're an adult, like,
oh, it's nauseating.
And there are. Like, what are you doing here? Right? Like, we're all adults here.
Maybe 10%. Like, they really.
Oh, yeah, take it seriously. Like, and if you're not, you know, if you don't take it seriously, they're upset with you for not taking it.
It's like, come on, man.
Like, when they're going to Outback for supper and they're not singing and the whole restaurant gathers around and sings to you, it's like, oh, my God.
It's too much.
It's too much.
My God. Anyway, Ken, what do you got in the fills?
And Rhea, write this down. I agree with you on Top Gun Maverick, by the way.
Oh, my God. Ken, this is a momentous occasion.
I can't, like, for you both to be so wrong about something, it's really impressive.
It's terrible. So I just want to point out that, at the risk of being, you know, obvious, that Kyle Schwarber cannot hit a three-run home run in the first inning if he's batting leadoff. I mean, that to me, that seems to be the most obvious benefit to Kyle Schwarber.
Well, it is the most obvious benefit. That's
right. And, you know, he's got five RBIs in the last two games hitting first inning home runs that last year would have been two RBIs in the first two games hitting first inning home runs. So it's you know, better late than never, but that this is where the guy belongs.
Well, so here's what I'll say, Ken. I thought a lot of people jumped the gun as recently as 48 hours ago. When they were calling into our show saying, you got to move Schwarber back to one, he can't hit three or four. And it's like, hold on a second. Can we let this situation breathe a little bit? Like, I think he's really good at one. I think he's actually their best one-hole hitter. But I also think, you know, next to Bryson, three and four, whichever spot it is, I think he's great there too. Yeah, he had a rough 2 weeks. That happens. He's their second best offensive player traditionally, meaning Bryce normally one, hasn't been this year.
This year he's been their best.
But I feel confident that Schwarber's going to be fine.
He leads
absolutely
him in on
fine.
Base.
Plus, he's adding he's so much protection.
He leads him in both, yeah.
So much protection for Harper.
Yeah.
Harper's now getting more pitches to hit.
You say it.
Yeah,
and
without
he's
a doubt.
And he's just missing them?
He's just missing them.
Yeah.
How much longer? It's just any
fine.
Day now, right?
It's any day.
Yeah.
We were worried about him last year. Look what he did last year. Yeah. So he'll be fine.
Well, I guess the point is, when you've got a team that's built to slug, when you've got a team that's built to hit three-run homers, to have the guy who's most likely to hit you a three-run homer not be able to hit you three-run homers to start off a game because he's batting leadoff, it seems kind of contradictory to the construction of the team. So, and I do think Kyle Schwarber, I was, you know, I wasn't sold on Kyle Schwarber. I don't want to say I never liked him, but he has impressed me over the last couple of years that he obviously has worked really hard to get better as a hitter, as not just as a home run hitter, but as a hitter. And I really wish that some of the other guys in this lineup would take the approach that he's taken to really get better and you know, improve on their deficiencies. And
I agree with that. I agree. Ken, give me who or what is overrated.
The most overrated movie ever put on film in the history of humankind, Titanic.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Wow, overrated. Do you think do you think it would serve other players as well to bat leadoff? Do you think it made Kyle Schwarber a better batter?
I have a different question. Let's combine them. Here's my question.
That he led off last year and he's retaining some of that on base percentage concept, you know, from having been the leadoff.
He's always been an on-base guy. It doesn't matter where he hits.
He's always been on-base.
I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Really? Okay.
All right, here's my question, Ben. Mm-hmm. Did it make him a better hitter and not play defense anymore?
No, I don't think so.
Concentrating on hitting didn't improve his hitting?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Because that's the one thing that's rattled through my mind. I mean,
it seems like it would make sense if you can go, and I don't even know, do guys go in and watch film on these pitchers like hour after hour after hour, like that sort of preparation?
I will say,
including during the game,
where he didn't before.
I will say, and you're going to probably poo-poo this, but if you have to lead off an inning and you're busting your butt from left field all the way in, getting your guards on your elbow and your leg protector and putting your batting gloves on, and then you got to run up there and hit, that is a thing. Like it's a thing. And you can say, all you got to do is run in, and you got it. That's a long way to go, man. And now he just has to he knows when he's going to be hitting. And all he has to do is go to the on deck circle and walk up there. But you got to bust your butt all the way from the outfield to get
more
in there.
Relax. You don't have that.
It's incredible.
When
I did the game in the dugout a couple or 2 weeks ago, and Alec Bohm, he was on deck when the third out was made. So he put all his stuff at the end of the bench. He came in from third base. It took him for, he had to put an ankle guard on, an elbow guard, a hand guard, his batting gloves, his helmet, and then go up. He barely got in the batter's box before the time expired.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a thing. Like,
it, look, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a better hitter in park because he's not playing D. I mean, it's interesting.
It could be a valid point. Be. Yeah,
you know, maybe.
I think from a preparation perspective, if you're able to dig in just that much more to every pitcher you're going to face, yeah, and I would assume it. He's that conscientious type of guy. It's got to help him.
It could be. Yeah.
Interesting.
Could be.
All right. Let me tell you the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy, your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, which playoff have you been enjoying more? Now, we got three choices here. We got A, the NBA. We're going alphabetical order. A, NBA. B, NHL. C, not watching either.
Jeez.
We'll see how people vote. I'll tell you this. I have enjoyed the NBA more, and I have enjoyed the NBA more than I expected. Look, no secret around here. I and a bunch of us have been really down on the NBA over the last year or more, and not just a Sixers thing, like an NBA thing. I think it's been a really entertaining playoff. And, John, it goes to show when players play, it can be a great league.
Yeah,
you know, and they play right now. So
they're fascinating when they play.
They play.
What a novel idea.
By the way, you know who's not playing anymore? Things. Bron out. LeBron.
He gone.
I love what happened with that team because the J.J. Redick thing. Now,
That's
Redick,
a failure by Redick.
Completely.
That's
what he
a
did
failure.
In the game, the previous game where he played them all like the entire second half, mm-hmm. You could tell they were dead tired last night. The Minnesota Timberwolves missed 40 threes and still won
still
the game.
Still won. Yeah, by about 10 points.
It's a record.
Yeah. They took 40 threes?
40.
Which is a problem. That's a whole nother matter.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they still beat them.
But the NBA headline last night is LeBron and Luka are out. And certainly that's not what the league wanted. But
no.
It's what it is. So, all right, NBA, NHL, or not watching either. Which have you enjoyed more? Also, coming up in 1 minute, something Howie Roseman said. Howie on the first two draft picks from a national interview Howie did yesterday. We'll get to Howie and what he said on the first two guys coming up in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about Family Company Jewelers, and let's talk about Mother's Day. Obviously, it is rapidly approaching, almost upon us, the great day of Mother's Day. And whether you're shopping for your mom, your wife, your daughter, your grandmom, whoever it may be, Family and Company Jewelers is the place to go. It's number one. You know, no one comes close to their selection, their prices, and of course their service. Their showroom is awesome. I've been in there many times. It's a beautiful showroom. Junior, Ian, the entire team, family run business. Wonderful people, real experts with what they do. Huge selection of gifts at every price point for Mother's Day. So get yourself there. Of course, you can do all the shopping online as well at familyandcompanyjewelers.com. But really, to me, it's a get there situation. It's a get there. See what they've got, feel it, hold it, love it, and get it as a tremendous gift for Mother's Day. That, of course, would be a gift from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, let's listen to Howie Roseman. He was talking to Rich Eisen yesterday on the NFL Network, and Rich Eisen, of course, has been covering the league for a long time, and Howie joined his program to talk about some of the draft picks. Let's go through the first two, because, John, obviously the first two were Jahad Campbell and Andrew Mukuba. I hear people say Drew. Is it Drew or Andrew?
Drew, I think he goes by Drew.
Is that?
I think he does. That's what I've heard people mention.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people going Drew in the last couple of days. All right, well, let's start with Jahad Campbell. And, John, we were talking about an hour ago on the injury situation with Campbell. It's obviously why they were able to get him. He otherwise would not have gone down to 31. Here's Howie yesterday on Campbell's injury situation.
For us, all along through the process, this was a top 10 player on our board. I think it's no secret by now. Some of the questions are more medical in nature for the reason that he fell to the spot kind of where we were. We rely on our doctors, and we had a lot of conversation on Jahad, and we think that over the near short term and the long term that he's going to be ready to go and play a lot of great football for us.
Okay, short term, long term. They feel confident. Okay.
They've been.
He probably wouldn't tell you if they felt 80%. He probably wouldn't tell you they feel 80%. So you take it with a little bit of a grain of salt because, like, he wouldn't tell you we don't feel confident. Okay. You know what I mean?
They've had success with Landon Dickerson was banged up coming out, and it was a serious injuries, reconstruction of the knee, that type of thing.
Three
and
times, right?
Yeah, it was significantly more serious on the knee front than what Jihad has going on. And, you know, Landon has been, save a couple plays here and there, Landon's been amazing. He's been an all-pro for us, so we've been fortunate. Their scouting department, their medical department, the Eagles know what they're doing.
Look, these situations are tricky. They blew it by drafting Sidney Jones because he wasn't able to answer the bell. They blew it by not drafting DK Metcalf because he was able to answer the bell as someone who entered the league with an injury thing. And I will remain convinced missing on DK Metcalf is part of why they took the chance on Dickerson, because they had recently blown Metcalf's situation, and I feel like it was like, all right, let's go back. Look, it's tricky. I mean, you know, these things are, whether it's, you know, a person's personality or medical situation, these things sometimes get complicated, and you either choose to take the shot or you don't. Well, in the second round, they went with, we'll call him Drew Mukuba, safety. You know, listening to Mike Mayock talk the other day with Spike Lake and Jack, he was talking about cornerback capabilities and tremendous versatility, and Howie Roseman leaned more into that when talking to Rich Eisen as well. Sounds like this is a real chess piece for Vic Fangio.
He had played a lot of nickel at Clemson, so he had this coverage ability, which we're always looking for in our back-end players, to be able to come down, cover the slot, to have that versatility, to not only be able to play in the middle of the field, but to come down and cover slot receivers, gives Vic a lot of flexibility. And so he had that cover ability. He just plays like his hair is on fire. You know, everything about him is fast and physical. And he's got ball skills, too.
You know, John, and I think it's fair to say in modern Eagles history, let's define it as this century. Doc is obviously number one for that. He's number one for everything for the Eagles from a safety.
Had everything.
Right. But Malcolm had that also. Malcolm
That's
wasn't
true.
As but Malcolm
well, he
could,
wasn't as big.
He didn't
have the sheer physical presence that Doc did.
Right. But he could cover receivers.
Doc looked like a linebacker.
Remember, Malcolm was a corner with the Saints before he moved to safety.
And
that gave them
part of what made him as good as he was. And he continued to be able to cover guys using his wily, you know, like veteranness for a lot longer than he probably should have been able to, because he could predict the routes. He understood the pairings, the way those routes work together. He he studied film so well. He knew, hey guys, when they're doing this, they watch this combo. Here's what they're going to run. He could basically tell everyone around him what to expect. So he made everyone that much better too. Andrew Mukuba needs to get to that point where he can understand things that well, and the safety's back there talking, communicating, making sure everyone knows what's coming.
I was
not just what might come, but like these guys get so good at it. Like I've told you about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman could dictate every single possibility from just formation and personnel groupings, that just going back in his brain with his eidetic memory, he could say, okay, I know what they're going to run, guys. Watch for this.
Wow.
That's the good ones can do that. And this is next level stuff. This is next level, like brain and deduction stuff. Just like on offense, we talk about if we had our druthers, our number one, my number one choice would, my number one characteristic for my quarterback would be his decision making. How fast can he process? You know, with it, there's something to that on the defensive side of the football, too. How fast do they process?
Yeah.
How smart are they? How many positions can they incorporate and play? We're picking up these versatile guys who are going to be asked a lot of, because they're doing more than a guy who just comes in and plays outside cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations. Like, I assume Mukuba was drafted to be, if he plays well enough in training camp, the starting safety to replace Sidney Brown. That was my assumption. Now there's the possibility he could be a starting slot corner.
Sure.
Or a starting outside corner. I mean, I guess he could be any of it.
And now, who knows? It might vary from week to week. And sometimes you get a defense, you get great defenses in this league where you've got guys who are interchangeable.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
That confuses you, right, for an offensive player?
Oh, yeah. Terrible time for any offense going up against that.
All right, so, you know, residual draft stuff, obviously. We'll play more of the Howie audio as we move through the show from that interview yesterday. And also, I do have to get John to this Norm Peterson greeting, in which
Norm.
I mean, it was pretty cool. He wished me. I mean, you know, George Went wishing me happy birthday. Ben, do you know who his nephew is?
He sounds the same.
Yeah, a little older, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben, he's got George Went has a famous nephew, very famous, one of the more famous TV shows this decade. Who
really?
Is it?
Yep. I have no idea.
Really?
No clue.
I know.
You know it? Yeah. How about that soccer coach over there in Europe?
No way.
Yep.
That's his nephew.
Ted Lasso.
That's his nephew?
That's his nephew.
Really?
His sister's son, yeah. And his godson.
Jason's, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Is that amazing?
That's pretty cool.
He seems like a really good guy.
They both seem like, I mean, George Went and Sudeikis, they seem like good dudes.
Yeah, I want to go to Thanksgiving over at their family's place. Really? Doesn't it just feel like it would be like really relaxed and interesting? Yeah. And
I wouldn't go if the ex-wife is there. That was real messy. Olivia Wilde.
Sudeikis' ex-wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very messy.
Who is she famous also?
Yeah, she's a famous actress, director.
And a director, yeah.
Gotcha.
Did you watch House?
Way to be on top of that.
No, but I have it on my list of things
Olivia
to consider.
Olivia Wilde, you don't know
who
that is?
I've heard of her.
Beautiful.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, Wilde with an A.
Okay, can you picture Olivia Wilde?
Nah.
From House?
Nah.
Okay. She's gorgeous, Joe.
I got to Elizabeth Shue and I stopped. I said my eyes have seen the coming of
House
the
was a
glory
great show.
Of Elizabeth Shue.
100%. Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, really great.